Today is June 13th, 2007, and this is the Apple Weekly Report, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, morning editor of the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, editor-in-chief.
This is a special edition of the Apple Weekly Report dedicated to this week's Apple Worldwide Developer Conference.
We're going to take a look at the things that Steve Jobs and friends did and did not say during the keynote address, which was held on Monday.
First up, let's take a look at the three most important announcements to come out of the event, the first of which is that Electronic Arts announced four new games that would be released simultaneously on the Mac and PC in 2007, and two more games coming to the Mac in 2008.
Command & Conquer 3, Battlefield 2142, Need for Speed Carbon, and Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix will be available in July of 2007. Madden 08 and Tiger Woods PGA Tour 08 will both be coming in 2008.
Now, this marks the return to the Mac platform for Electronic Arts, which is the world's largest gaming company, and they left the Mac platform several years ago. Steve Jobs was joined by Bing Gordon, the CEO of EA, who managed to turn in a stellar performance, no mean feat when you're sharing a stage with Steve Jobs, and certainly not something that singular CEO Stan Sigman was able to do back at Macworld Expo 2007.
That was a painful, painful moment back then.
Indeed.
Also joining Steve Jobs this time around was John Carmack of id Software. The super geek announced that id's next gaming engine will be cross-platform and that his company will have another Mac-related announcement later in 2007. We'll discuss the implications of this and the EA news in the Context Machine. Apple also announced that Safari 3, a heretofore unannounced upgrade to the web browser, will be ported to Windows, and that a beta version for both Mac OS X and Windows was being made available immediately.
And while we're not sure the Mac version that I tried is ready for prime time, this does mark a significant change in Apple's Windows strategy. The move puts a Mac-compatible browser that Apple claims is faster than Internet Explorer 7 and Firefox into the hands of Windows-based Web 2.0 developers, which has implications for the iPhone 2.
And speaking of iPhone, that's our third piece of major news coming out of the WWDC. Steve Jobs announced that third-party developers will be able to develop for the iPhone, at least sort of. Apple is making Safari open to developers via Web 2.0 and Ajax technologies.
And this will allow developers to make all but standalone apps, but in a way that leaves security and stability firmly in the hands of Apple. And in other news, attendees of the keynote were given another tour of Leopard features, a tour that included a few new technologies and features, along with some already shown technologies and some already shown but now vastly improved features.
Most important was the announcement of a new Finder in Leopard with significant new features, a new dock, stacks, better Spotlight integration, a new look and feel, and the ability to have .Mac manage access to your other computers. This was the most important of the new technologies shown, and it elicited the most excitement from developers on hand for the event.
And Mr. Jobs also showed us a new feature called Quick Look, which gives users the ability to preview any file from any application right in the Finder without first having to open the application used to create or manage the original file. Using Quick Look, you can view the contents in their entirety of a Word, Excel, Keynote, GarageBand, or pretty much any other file directly in the Finder, as long as you have the right plugin installed. And with that plugin architecture, any developer can make a Quick Look plugin for their application, which does make the technology open to every application that is capable of running on your Mac.
We also saw a new core animation demo that showed off some of the new power of this technology, power that developers can tap for their own applications. We've seen core animation before, but what we were shown at the WWDC was some of the scalability and power that this technology can offer.
We also got demos of a dashboard widget called Movies and a new demo of how WebClip, the ability to make your own widgets from snippets of a web page, actually works.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jeff. I almost fell asleep with that bit of news. Lastly, we were shown a new demo of how iChat Theater works. This is the ability to give the presentations through an iChat video conference, and it could be a technology that will gain some traction for Apple in the corporate space, so neither Jeff nor I are holding our breaths.
This was another technology that we've seen before from Apple, but this week's demo shows that the last year has been spent to good effect in making it better. The same could be said for the cheesy photo booth effects easily amused people will be able to do to their image when video conferencing in iChat. We've seen them before, but Apple has greatly refined the process since they were first announced at last year's WWDC.
The rest of the Leopard feature list was mostly a rehash of past events, and as I described during our live coverage of the event, developer reaction to the presentation was somewhat subdued.
So let's hit the context machine to discuss the importance of all this news. Okay.
Well, let's start with the game news.
I think that sounds good. And from my perspective, that was actually a really, really big piece of news.
Because, you know, it was. I think that anytime game developers are paying attention to the Mac, it means more attention will be given to the Mac in the consumer space. Games are still an important part of the computer business, even though the console business has begun to, if not completely, overshadowed the PC side of the industry. You know, and EA is one of the biggest companies, actually the biggest company in this industry, and for them to want to develop those resources for the Mac shows that they see Apple continuing to grow.
I agree. That was a big thing. And id was up there showing off some stuff too. So that's two really big names in the game industry.
Well, yes, it is. But you know, I have to remember that John Carmack has been a huge fan of Steve Jobs from, you know, a long time ago. The original first Quake engine was actually developed on the NextOS. It was not developed on Windows at all. For a long time, John actually continued to develop on Next machines. And when Apple announced that they were buying Next and that Mac OS X was going to be based on the Next OS, John Carmack was right there to show his support. And, you know, I think he probably supported the Mac a lot longer than it made economic sense to do so. So his coming back is great news. It's certainly great news for Mac gamers, but I just think it's important to keep in mind that he is a fan of the platform and a fan of Steve Jobs.
And that's a really good point. But of course, having him on stage speaking is a big thing too, because the media sees that, and that's a validation for the Mac platform, even though John's been a big fan for a long time. It just goes a long way with the media.
Well, it does. And John Carmack is still one of the most important voices on the developer side of the gaming industry. And, you know, when he speaks, people do tend to listen. And, you know, I haven't actually had a chance yet to poll some of my friends and colleagues and associates in the gaming world. But I have a feeling that they're going to be, I don't know about impressed, but they're going to be at least intrigued by these two developments.
I'm sure they will be. And I know I have friends that have been longtime Windows users, haven't seen the light yet, that will probably now be looking a lot closer at a Mac, knowing that they're going to be able to get first-run games at the same time on Mac or Windows.
Well, again, though, some first-run games.
It's a start.
It is a start, and it's an important start, and I think it's fantastic news.
I agree. So that brings us up to Safari for Windows. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, once upon a time, I think this might have upset Mac users who were worried that Apple was going to be developing the Mac platform or whatever, you know, all kinds of nonsense like that. And that's not the case today. No one really seems tense about this, nor should they be. Moving Safari over to Windows is another gateway application for would-be switchers. It's, you know, another gateway application just like iTunes for Windows users to see, and it will make that transition to the Mac all the easier. But I think there's a far more important reason that Apple has done this.
And do tell.
Oh, well, thank you, Jeff. I think I will.
Excellent.
That big reason being that having a Mac-compatible browser on both platforms that Apple controls, that a corporation controls, that a big corporation with a lot of clout controls, is going to be very important as more and more application development starts taking the Web 2.0 path. So you've got folks, you've got corporate folks, you've got any kind of folks that they will be able to develop this stuff for the Mac, test it on the Mac, or at least test it on Safari, and make sure that it works, and it actually gives them a reason to do so. And that should have good applications for the platform as a whole. And then there's one more thing, you know, and if you know what I'm going to say, I'd like to let you take a stab at it.
Oh, no, I don't want to take your thunder.
Oh, well, I'm kind of taking all your thunder, but that's okay.
Oh, I have plenty of thunder. Don't worry.
True enough, Jeff. The last reason, and this may be even the most important reason, is that having Safari on Windows will allow Windows-based developers to more easily develop iPhone apps. And I think Steve Jobs talked a lot about getting market share for Safari, and that's a red herring at best. This was really about getting a Mac compatible browser that Apple controls in the hands of developers.
You know, I have to agree with you completely on that. And I really look at Safari, just like iTunes, as gateway drugs, if you will, to the Mac.
Absolutely.
And I think that now that we're seeing more pieces of this unified interface throughout OS X, we're also seeing a really easy, smooth stepping stone being built so that Windows users that are already familiar with how Mac applications should work, or at least look, will be able to make their way through a Mac operating system easier once they jump over to a Mac from their Windows computer. And if you look at like the cover flow feature that's moved over from iTunes to the Finder, that's a perfect example. And I think we're seeing a little bit of that with Safari as well.
Yeah, that's absolutely the case.
So, yeah, and then the whole thing with being able to code for the iPhone, although I wish we would have seen an SDK for the iPhone at the developers conference. Had we seen it, my jaw would have dropped. That's not something I would have expected to come out. But at least being able to do the Web 2.0 apps and to be able to develop them on a Windows machine and see exactly how they ought to look on an iPhone, because you view them in Safari, I think that's a really big thing, and that is going to help a lot with the overall platform development, if you will, of the iPhone.
Absolutely. And I too would like to have seen an SDK, but this is both sort of a half-assed approach to allowing third-party development, you could even go the completely pessimistic look and also call it a half-assed way of Apple keeping making sure that the iPhone stays stable and secure. In reality, it probably is – well, it is the only way that they can allow third-party development and still be responsible for the security and stability of the platform.
I think you're right. I also think that over time, Apple will be able to start building in other little security measures in the iPhone so that maybe down the road we can get a real iPhone SDK, even if it involves an approval process of applications from Apple before they can actually be pushed out to the phone.
Maybe. Of course, once that cat's out of the bag, it would be difficult to control that, unless, of course, the only way you can load an application on iPhone is through iTunes, and that's the only way Apple could control it. But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. And I would like to see it happen in some form eventually, just because that's going to give developers a little bit more flexibility in what they write and how they write it for the iPhone. But on the other hand, I don't want to buy a phone that crashes on me 3 times a day, has to be rebooted, is always losing my data. That sounds way too much like a Windows smartphone to me.
Well, you know, that's exactly the case. And the thing is, though, that Apple can't really control that software unless, of course, they're doing something where you can only install applications through iTunes. But, of course, you know, they could always do that. Once the cat's out of the bag with an SDK, the cat is out of the bag. So it'll be interesting to see if they ever do go that route. My guess is that they won't unless they determine that they have to in order to grow market share.
Yeah, so I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But if they do come out with something, at least we can sit back with the knowledge knowing this wouldn't be the first time that we heard something from Apple and then they did exactly the opposite of what they said.
No, it wouldn't be. It's about the music, stupid.
It's about the music, stupid. And of course, we'll never see videos on an iPod.
No, who wants to watch videos on our iPod? Obviously.
Obviously.
One more thing that I thought we should maybe touch on, and that is this notion of the fact that the keynote did feel subdued, that maybe developers weren't as excited as in years past. Have you thought about that much?
I have. And
well, let's hear it.
Okay. Here's what I think. I think that Apple took an event that is designed for developers, and they knew that it was a big media event, and they tried to make a developer presentation fit what the media needed to see so they could send the right information out to the public. And what we ended up with was a compromise that showed us some features that were great, but then didn't give us that real in-depth detail that we expect, or at least I expect, from a developers conference. And if you go back and look at what John Martellaro, our afternoon editor, wrote on Monday or Tuesday, I can't remember which, I believe it was on Tuesday.
It was this morning.
This morning on Tuesday.
Tuesday
no problem.
Morning.
Tuesday morning. He talked about he was very disappointed with the keynote overall. And I get why, because he went into it expecting what so many other people were, which was a big dog and pony show like you have at Macworld. We didn't get big hardware announcements. We didn't get any, actually. We got the MacBook Pro update last week, and I don't think that was an accident. They didn't want to release it at the developers conference. They wanted to be able to focus on Leopard. And
well, yeah, actually, let me interrupt there, because generally speaking, the only time we ever get any kind of hardware products released during the keynote is when they affect developers. For instance, we got the move to Intel that was announced at WWDC.
And that makes sense.
There have been other products where basically they were perceived as being important to developers or important to the growth of the platform, which is important to developers.
Right. The product that I remember Apple announcing at the developers conference a couple years ago, where I thought, why did they do that there, would be the original iSight camera.
Yes.
Although they gave every developer a camera. That was a pretty cool little thing.
It's a very smart thing.
Yeah.
So I actually don't have much sympathy for anyone who is expecting some kind of big product announcement at Macworld, and you know, analysts, whomever, it just, you know, wasn't really going to come. But what I think was kind of interesting, you sort of touched upon this, is that the presentation was like a weird mix between being aimed at developers and aimed at the media / consumers. Jobs usually does just a fantastic job of making sure that his presentation is geared to the people that are receiving it. In this case, the developers. He's been very, very good at that. But we didn't get much from the standpoint of developers. As a matter of fact, we got more developer related information about Leopard last year than we did this year. And I personally think that the subduedness was because the developers were looking for developer related news and they weren't necessarily getting it. It wasn't that what we were being shown was unimportant or bad. Those three things that we talked about, game news, Safari for Windows, and Safari for iPhone, those are all very, very important things. It's just they don't really affect developers as much as – well, with the exception of the Safari for iPhone. They don't affect developers. The rest of the stuff doesn't affect developers as much as I think people were expecting and hoping.
Right. I would have liked to have seen more about the underpinnings of the operating system.
Yeah, sure.
And – That would have included things like what are they doing with core graphics, and mm-hmm. what are they doing with all the audio tie-ins, and what are they doing for developers so that it's easier for them to make their applications? And we didn't see mm-hmm. that. We also didn't see an announcement about ZFS.
We didn't see an announcement about ZFS, something we talked about on the last Apple Weekly Report, as a matter of fact. I think you did a report on Tuesday morning with a quote from an Apple exec that said ZFS ain't going to be there.
Yes. And I am the one that wrote that. You're right. And I was quite surprised when I saw that for two reasons, or maybe more. We'll see by the time I'm done. The first was the Sun CEO had said Apple is announcing this next week at the developers conference. I watched the video clip myself to make sure that I wasn't seeing something being quoted out of context. And that's exactly what he said. So that was a surprise there. The other surprise to me was that we had someone from Apple actually divulging information about an upcoming product that hasn't been released, and it's a feature that hasn't officially been announced. So typically Apple does the no comment line, or we don't talk about unannounced products or features. In this case, he came right out and said no ZFS. That really surprised me.
Makes you wonder. Now, I just can't believe that this could be a repeat of the ATI debacle, where ATI announced something and Steve Jobs punished them by pulling their video cards, or not announcing them the hardware that they were talking about, and subsequently pulling their cards from that hardware. I can't see that, because, you know, when you're talking about file systems and operating system development, it would have been way too late to pull ZFS if it was already a done deal. But, you know, at the same time, that is certainly niggling at the back of my head. So I wonder what's going on. It's a weird situation for Sun to have said that, like you noted, and for Apple to have commented in the way that it did.
I agree. And yes, in the back of my mind, as I was writing my article, there was a little voice going, is Apple spanking Sun right now? Although I agree, the likelihood of that happening at this stage in the game is unlikely, because it would take a lot to have to go back and rip that part of the framework out.
That's not going to happen. I mean, that's too much even for Apple, even for Steve Jobs. So we should actually hopefully be able to get some more clarity on that coming out of the WWDC itself. We'll find out.
I'm looking forward to hearing what everyone has to say about what's really going on with that.
Indeed. And that's the context machine for today.
Yes. And if you have any comments you'd like to add, you can send us an email at roundup@tmo.com. There you go. We made it through our first context machine and entire podcast without Ricky, although we miss him dearly. It's a great thing that we're able to flounder our way through. So
absolutely.
Yes. So that's the news. And thanks for listening to this special WWDC edition of the Apple Weekly Report.
Our content is written by the Mac Observer staff. That's us. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom for TMO, and that's all I've got.
And as always, stay subscribed.
We'll see you next week.